men that understand the workings of the Holy Ghost have the capacity to change conditions. The capacity to change condition, it's a kingdom entrustment. You can't gain the kingdom if it is not a priority.
Yes, this is the kingdom message. Get ready and fasten your seatbelt as the servant of God, the lead pastor of KDC Love and Mercy Church, Pastor Stephen Enoku, drives us through the mysteries of the Word of God. Be blessed as you listen.
Take our seats. Glory to God. Amen. I want to welcome you to Koinonia service this Thursday. And every time we come to Koinonia service, it's a time we come to fellowship with God, with His Word. And one thing about the Word of God is that His Word is what gives us life, light, and understanding. Glory to God. So quickly, can we just lift up our hands and begin to say, Lord, as we go into your word this evening, let your word edify us. Let your word quicken us. We receive the instrumentation of transformation. We understand that your word is potent in betting transformation in our lives. So we submit to the instrumentation of your word. We ask that your word will communicate profound truth to us. Can you say, Lord, my heart is ready. My heart is receptive. The word of God fall on the good soil in my heart. The word of God falls on the good soil in my heart. Are we praying? Are we praying? The word of God falls on the good soil of my heart. The word of God is fruitful in my life. Blessed be your name, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Glory to God. Amen. By the grace of God, we are currently on a teaching series we began since the month of June. It's a very, very important subject. And that is why I'm taking my time to scratch it, all of it. Hallelujah. It's a very important subject, the subject of renewal of mind. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And by the grace of God, we began on Sunday looking at the series Renewing the Mind from the Fear and Consciousness of Lack. So to put it into context, I changed the your to D. So it's renewing the mind from the fear and consciousness of lack. Renewing the mind from the fear and consciousness of lack, part two. Is that okay? So if you are just joining the series, I want to encourage you to reach out to the media and get some of the parts. It will bless your life. You know, one of the, over time, I've taught a lot of series, but one of the series that have really blessed me is this series on renewing the mind, the power and principle of a renewed mind. So please, the principle and power of a renewed mind. So please get the series, demand for it. And listen to them, it will bless your life. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So let's turn our Bibles very quickly to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to be reading the book of Hebrews. Now, Hebrews is just before Revelation, but after Genesis, somewhere in between. Open your Bible. Open it. Glory to God. Hebrews chapter 13. We're going to start reading from verse number 5. Hebrews 13, verse number 5. NLT, please. Are we there? Now, if you don't have your Bible, you can look up the screen so that you can follow. Now, the writer of Hebrew was speaking. He said, one, two, let everybody, let's read it together. One, two, read. Don't love money. Be satisfied with what you have. For God has said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. Now, verse 6. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Let's scream it again. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Glory to God. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to start reading from verse 24. It's going to be a bit of a long reading, but we'll read it together. Now, one, two, read, everybody. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate one and love the other. You will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. 25. Now, this is why I tell you not to worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food and drink or enough clothes to wear. Isn't life more than food and your body more than clothing? 26. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? 27. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? 28. Yet, and why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet, Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for white flowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So, don't worry about these things, saying, what will I eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. But your heavenly Father already knows all you need. Verse 33. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Let's echo it together. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. The last verse, verse 34. So, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worry. Today's trouble is enough for today. Father, we thank you for your word. We understand that your word is light, your word is life. We understand the potency of your word. So I submit to the authority of your word today, and I'm asking that your word will bring light to your people. I pray that the entrance of your word will be the entrance of faith. I pray that the entrance of your word will be the entrance of understanding. I pray that the communication of your word will be transformative in its effect, in the mighty name of Jesus. I submit every heart to the influence of your word. I'm asking that the anointing that makes the hearing understanding and retention of your word will be mighty upon your people. And for me, you will grant unto me the dexterity of thoughts. You will grant unto me the enablement of mind. And you will grant unto me the fluidity of speech so that I will be able to communicate your words to your people. Let it be plain, let it be simple, and let it be understood. So that at the end of this discussion, Jesus will be glorified and every saint will be edified. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Say with me, the Lord is my shepherd. I will not want. You must understand that whenever the scripture talks about God in relation to man, in relation to believers, he doesn't just call God God. He calls him Father. You must understand that when it comes to things, God is God. If you look at that verse, he said, if God so care for the white flowers, he said, how much more he will care for you. He now went on to say that all these things dominate the thoughts of the unbelievers. He said, but your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. So you must understand that when it has to be the universe, the world, and the things thereof, God is God. But to the believer, God is not just God. God is who? Is a Father. This is one of the mysteries, one of the understanding that brings about the defeat of the fear or consciousness of lack. You must know this. If you are going to defeat the monster called lack, the monster called helplessness, you must understand the fatherhood of God. Tell your neighbor, the fatherhood of God. As we continue in this series, we began to look at the mind. I've told you before now that when man sinned against God, man became estranged from God. Man became disconnected from God. Please, you must know this, that every of the things we suffer here on earth is as a result of that disobedience of Adam. Are you with me? If Adam had not disobeyed, we would not be struggling to feed. If Adam had not disobeyed, we would not be struggling for what to wear, because even in the recent, we never needed clothes in the first place. Glory to God. Glory to God. You must understand that God already had everything under control, but somehow the deceiver, the serpent, the liar came and then deceived the woman, and then the woman extended her deception to the man out of maybe intentions. The man took the fruit, and the Bible says from that moment a lot of things happened. And I told you that the things that happened, we can divide them into three. Glory to God. We said one of the effects of the fall was that man became afraid, the fear and consciousness of lack. Please, I wanted to take note of that. One of the effects of the fall, when man ate the fruit, one of the things that resulted was that man became afraid of not having enough. Man was created in a space where everything was available, but because of his disobedience, he was given a quit notice. Are you with me? So when he left the presence of God, one of the things that dominated man's thought is the fear of not enough. You must understand that even when Cain and Abel came to offer their sacrifices, it affected what they brought. So you must know this, that one of the effects of the fall was the fear and consciousness of lack, what you would call the fear of not enough. And the second we talked about was the fear and was the crave and desire for acceptance. And then the third we talked about the pride and contention mindset. Are you with me? What we are trying to say is this: when Adam disobeyed God in Eden. How many of you know the Eden experience? You've heard about it. You've been told. The effect is what we are suffering from. We can summarize the entire effect as corruption and vanity. The Bible says the heart of man became wicked because he was shut out from the light of God, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18. So everything mankind is suffering is as a result of the Adamic nature. So the Bible now told us in 2 Corinthians that if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. But you must understand that what became new when we became saved was our spirit. Our spirit was recreated. We call it the recreated human spirit. But our soul was not recreated. And you must know this, that the spirit connects to God, the soul connects to man, while the body connects to the earth. Are we together? So there is this three connectivity. Your spirit connects to God. God connects to your heart through your spirit. Because the only medium by which your heart will receive control and influence is either through your body or through your spirit. Is that okay? The soul of man was designed to be an organ of influence. Is that okay? So the soul of man was designed to be an organ of influence. So you must understand that at salvation, the spirit of man became recreated. Is that okay? So what the spirit needs is recreation. What the soul needs is what? Is renewal. And what the body needs is what? Is submission. So you must understand that these are the three most important things that comes with the new creation life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ. So when you confess the Lordship of Christ, your spirit became recreated. So you received what we called the recreated human spirit, a superior spirit to the one that Adam lost in Eden. You must understand that. I don't have all the time. Maybe subsequently I'll begin to teach on that. Many of you don't know that the spirit you received at salvation was not the spirit that Adam lost in Eden. Are you getting what I'm saying? Adam never had eternal life in Eden. It was a probational life he had. That was why when he ate the fruit, he could be ostracized from that life. But you must know this, that the life you have now is an eternal life. Glory to God. It is superior to the life that Adam had. So the spirit is recreated, and is recreated by him who formed it. So the same God that gave Adam a spirit in Eden, the same God has come. But the spirit you have now, it's not a probational spirit, because it's the spirit that has been tested by the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. So it's a glorified spirit. Is that okay? So that's why the Bible says, you who were once dead in trespasses, had he made alive. And you must know this, he made us alive and then made us to sit with him in heavenly places, far above principality. So our spirit is recreated. Tell your neighbor, your spirit is recreated. I've been doing a study of the spirit of man for some time now. The spirit of man is so powerful. Most of us will know how powerful the spirit you carry when this body leaves. Now this body, when the spirit is inside, now they be all the problem. Now, there the problem they come from. The spirit of God you carry is so powerful. He's so potent. The Bible says that if no man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of a man. He said, likewise, the things of God knows no man than the spirit of God. He said, but you have not received the spirit of the world, but you have received the spirit that is of God, that you may know the things that are freely given. You must understand that the spirit of God in you is so powerful that it will make you know when somebody wants to scam you. Are you with me? No, that's the truth. Sometimes when I see Christians that are baptized with the Holy Ghost and they are tongue talking and they come and say, somebody scammed me, I'm wondering, how come? Now let me tell you why it happened that way. It happened that way because there is a rivalry between the spirit of God recreated and your soul. So at the point the person is trying to trick you, something is telling you this guy is not real. But another thing is telling you, guy, you need the money. Are you with me? He's telling you that just give me this 10K. After 2 weeks, you get 100K. Who not like 100K? Nobody. The Adamic man had tasted comfort. I told you on Sunday that the desire for comfort was put there. It was inherited. Have you read about the temple? The temple where God built. See, you know, in the Old Testament, you know, scripture said God, like we know in scripture, God said, I don't live in house created by man and all those things. But go and read the book of Chronicles about the temple that Solomon built. Up to today, that temple is an architectural masterpiece. Nothing has been built like that temple. Go and read about that. Is it an ark that Noah built? It was an architectural masterpiece. So God not go build anything where no day, where no good. If God decide to stay on this earth, his house will be finer than White House. Am I communicating? Some of you are religious. Some of you are religious. You don't understand what I'm saying. You must know this. God is a God that likes comfort. He likes good things. Tell your neighbor, God is a God of good things. It is the fall. You know, if we allow God to give archaeologists entrance into Eden, what they will see in Eden, they will marvel. A land that was being watered by mist. Scripture says four streams was watering the garden. God is a God of good things. And that's why even Revelation told us that the streets of heaven, they are made of gold. When you get to heaven, if you will be seeing yourself reflecting in the streets. So what I'm trying to establish is that your heavenly Father knows you need comfort. Stop breaking your head about it. So sometimes it's because of that desire that we get scammed. Quick fix, quick money. Because if the Spirit of God is upon you, you will know what is going on in people's spirits. If the Spirit of God is in your life, when a scammer comes, before I talk 2-3, you will know he's a scammer. Am I correct? Have you been scammed before? I mean, if you have been scammed before, be sincere, raise your hand. Good. At the point where you were, didn't something tell you that the guy is not genuine? It did. Am I correct? It did. God will never watch you. I mean, you carry a spirit. He will not leave you without alerting you that this guy is a scammer. God will never do that. It will alert you. The thing will just knock in your heart. Papa. It will be there. And I mean, I've had people who entered vehicle that they were ritualists inside. They will tell you, well, something told me not to enter the vehicle. That something is the divine prompting. Is the Spirit of God in you. Because the Spirit of God knows all things. He knows all things. But why it now looks like he cannot really clearly see. Like what Mani was saying. He said, our soul is like a veil. It veils us from seeing things as they are in the spirit. So it is only when that veil is removed that you can see things as they are. So the removal of that veil is what we call renewal of mind. So, and the direction of renewal of mind must be in the direction of the effect of the fall. So what do I mean? Give us Hebrews 12:2 from Message Bible. Hebrews 12:2, Message Bible. You see the way he puts it? He said, bring your everyday life. He said, keep your eyes. Romans. Romans 12, 2. Now, he said, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. He said, let's start from one. Okay, so here's what I want you to do. God helping you. He said, take your everyday ordinary life, your sleeping, your eating, your going to work and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. He said, embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Bring it. So majority of the times when we get scammed is when we didn't bring it. Because you must understand that the conscience and the intuition, okay, we talk the intuition now. The intuition sometimes is dormant, it's passive. You engage it. So that's why, for example, a young man comes to you asking for your hand in marriage, and then you tell him, give me some time to pray, and sincerely you go and pray. You really go and pray. You know, some ladies, when they tell you go and pray, some of them, they are not going to pray. At least you have shown them bling bling. You have shown them that you are good, so they don't need to pray. You are already their husband. They just want to do delay tactics so that you won't think you are cheap. You won't think they are cheap. But I mean, the ones that are really sincere, and you take it to God in prayer sincerely, because God responds to sincere prayers. He searches your heart. If you have already accepted him, he will not tell you anything. That's how gentlemanly, in quotes, the Spirit of God is. So sincerely, you now go. I mean, if you do that sincerely, something will prompt. Something will what? Prompt. But you see, that's something that prompts. It cannot become clear, or it cannot become clearer, if your mind has not been renewed. Because every time you go to God to seek for clarity about something, one of the things he opens you up to are his principles surrounding that thing. Let's take, for example, someone comes to you and they say he wants you to do business, wants to do business with you and all of those. One of the first things you want to do is to go and do what I call background check. Background check. Now, background check is not an emotional action. It's a principle. Like one of our proteges go work somewhere abroad, and then she was telling me that by the time she applied, they examined all her requirements. Before they gave her appointment letter, they said they're going to do background check. They did that check for close to a month, bringing all the records they have about her. Some of them, they can go to their Facebook page, check, call some of their mutual friends. But you know, sometimes most of us don't do all of these before we throw our money. You understand? We just, the emotion. This guy is real. He doesn't look like someone that can fraud someone. He's genuine. See, all his Facebook is just pastor preaching, like the one I read today. The woman said the young lady was always sending her prayer points, links to prayers, fire prayer, and all those things. Did that consistently for close to a month. We even call her, pray for her. And then one day just called her that there is something they need to do somewhere, a birthday party. And then the husband was like, you see all these people that are always using religion, they are covering something, but you don't know what they are covering. But the husband allowed her. She said she drove herself into the den of ritual killers. Got to the venue, no birthday party. The woman went inside and came and showed herself. He said, woman, just cooperate or you die here. So sometimes I ask, how do we get so tricked, yet we have the Spirit of God in us? It's because our mind has not been renewed. Our emotions are still stronger than our spiritual principles. But that's just the truth. Because, ideal principle in that kind of scenario, you are going to somewhere you don't know. Ideally, you don't go alone. There's something called the senses of the spirit. The senses of the spirit, sometimes they work like your own senses, but they are superior to your senses. So what I'm trying to say in effect is this. There is a recreated spirit inside of you, but if your mind is not what? Renewed, and your body is not submissive, that spirit will look so inactive. Are we getting it? So that's why if you really want to be free from the effect of the fall, Apostle Paul said, you must take your day-to-day life and submit it to what? To God. And said, God, I'm not going until you tell me to go. I mean, your day-to-day life. Your day-to-day life. So, but somehow we get so engrossed in life that we forget there are some details that God requires you submit to Him. For example, your needs. Now, some of you, when you need money, the next thing you are thinking of is the uncle to call or the friend to borrow from. But when your mind becomes renewed, the first thing you do when you have a need is to present it to God. And say, God, this is what I need. Can you help me meet it? Are you with me now? Glory to God. So, the recreated spirit knows all things. Like Jesus was saying. He said, your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all this. The Spirit of God in you knows that God will show up. He knows. But sometimes, because our mind is not renewed, we struggle to trust God. But I pray that during the course of the series, the Lord will deliver you from the rejections of your body and your mind in Jesus' name. God does not want us to ever depend or rely on our own initiatives. God does not want us to depend on our own ideas. And God does not want us to depend on our skills. We must embrace these. You must realize that when God made man in Eden, He made man to depend on Him. That's why He said He shouldn't eat of the fruit. Because not eating of the fruit is trying to tell God that, God, anything you want me to do, I do. But the moment man ate the fruit, what man did was to declare independence from God. Please take note of this. The moment man ate the fruit, the eating of the fruit was Adam's way of telling God, God, I can handle this myself. And so that's where all of the bigger problems came from. Now, one of the mistake Adam made was that he forgot that Eden was God's idea. So God does not want us to depend on our own initiative. Does it mean that I shouldn't work? No. Does it mean that I shouldn't do business? No. Does it mean that I shouldn't have plans? No. That's not what we are saying. We are saying take that plan and do what? Present it to God. That's what we are saying. Let's check something in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. The Bible was speaking about the famine that came around that time. Give it to us in NLT. Genesis 26. He said there was a famine in the land. I mean, there was hunger, not enough. And then it happened before. So Isaac moved to Gerar, where Abimelech, king of Philistines, lived. Now see the next verse, verse 2. It's the Lord, verse 1. Go back to verse 1. He said, a severe famine struck. Okay, verse 2 now. So, the Lord appeared to Isaac and said, do not what? Now, why would God have appeared to Isaac? In Isaac's mind, Egypt was the safe haven. That's what we are saying. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, He said, trust in the Lord with all your strength. Do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And He shall direct your paths. Look up. You can't be leading your life and God will be leading your life. It doesn't work. You can't have two captains in a ship. So that's why we are saying renew your mind. So that you will stop trusting your own ideas. Because the most frustrating part of life is when God is not blessing what you are pursuing. Are we together? Do you understand what I'm saying? I mean, that's the worst part of life. When God is not blessing your pursuit, you will be struggling. You know that verse of scripture, except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain. What is vain labor? Vain labor is a labor that does not produce commensurate yield. My mind is renewed. Lift up your hands and begin to pray in the Holy Ghost. I do not labor in vain. I do not labor in vain. My mind is renewed. I'm learning to depend on God. I'm learning to depend on God. In Jesus' name we pray. Everything that revolves around self does not glorify God. Never ever by your actions or your reactions allow it to show that you rely or depend on yourself. God is and must remain your source and sustenance. Deuteronomy chapter 8, let's read verse 3. Deuteronomy 8. Verse 3. He said, he humbled you by letting you go hungry and then feeding you with manna, a food previously unknown to you and your ancestors. Now look up. He did this to teach you that people do not live by bread alone. Rather, we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Now look up. At that time, there was no bread for them to eat. Bread is symbolic of sustenance. And bread is symbolic of what is affordable for the poor. Everybody can afford bread. No matter how everything becomes expensive, bread, poor man must be able to afford it. So bread is a symbol of availability and affordability. But there was no bread. So God now gave them manna. So God was now trying to tell them, even if the poorest of the poor cannot afford bread, I will still give you what to eat. And then you don't want to trust that God? They couldn't afford bread, so God gave them. Do you know what manna is? Manna better pass bread, though. No, go and read about manna. The moment they saw it, they said, what's this? Or manna is heavenly baked bread. It does not need fridge for preservation. Neither does it need gas for warming. As it comes, you eat it. It's even bread, you go where they sell them. You go pay for it. God is so good. But let me tell you this. Manna is a principle. Because in the book of Psalm 78, David now said, and check, while they were eating the manna, God struck some of them dead. Why? They couldn't trust him. Let me tell you this. I know you try to rate sins and different sins. I mean sins. To some of you, the greatest sin is maybe fornication, immorality, and all those things. Let me tell you this. In God's stead, one of the greatest sins is not trusting him to take care of you. It grieves him. Why it grieves him? Because the reason he created you in the first place was so you could be the attention of his affection. That's why he created you, to take care of you. That's why he created you. I call that devil a liar. The devil really dealt with our mind. The devil destroyed our heart. He made us so selfless and conscious of lack. And that's what he's still doing till today. Making you think that God can't give you money to buy clothes. God can't feed you. Listen to me. He created you to show you his care. Reason why your life is going this way is because you have allowed that fear to dominate you. What is food that God can't give to you? What is clothes that he can't give to you? But you see, it's not your fault. It came from the Adamic man. So by default, bring up that verse of scripture. This is what dominates the thought of unbelievers. Most of you watched the last AMVCA. For those of you that are working, Africa Magic Viewers Choice Award. And somebody said the clothes he wore was 15 millionaire. Do you remember? There was another one that came and said he spends 5 million monthly on her skin or something. All these things are what dominates. That's why you want to buy bone straight. It's not because the bone in your head is not straight. It's because bone straight is what the happening babes put on. If not, the bone in your head is already straight enough. Because if it's not straight enough, you can't quote your phone number. So, you don't need bone straight to straighten your memory. Because the worst thing that can ever happen to a man, to a woman this time, is to wear a hair or an hair of 550,000 naira. And yet, you don't know the difference between the Y and the S. I mean, to carry an expensive hair but don't have common sense and intelligence. That's the worst thing. That's why you see most of them, they put on those things, very shortly will come into crave for acceptance. Many of them put on those things because of acceptance. They want to be accepted among the big girls. They want their name to appear in the next magazine. They want to garner more fame. They want more like on their TikTok, even though their talk is smelly. Because they know that there are people who are foolish like them that will patronize them. So that's why I see believers clamoring for those things. You are even of all men most miserable. Because the last time I checked, your identity is not in the proscription of Babylon. If Babylon ovates you and Jerusalem looks down on you, you in fact is worse. So that's why we need to sit down and ask ourselves, what really is our motivation? Because social media is spoiling a lot of things in our lives. It's spoiling. As a matter of fact, a high percentage of depression that people are experiencing is because of their addiction to Facebook, TikTok, and to Instagram and all those places. And latest of them is Thread. Amen. That's the challenge. It's the addiction. Up till now, I don't know how to use Instagram. I don't know. People come and teach me how to do that. Because the truth is, sir, I don't want anything that will disturb my mind. I don't joke with my mind. Most of you don't understand what life is all about. I don't joke with my mind. So I'm careful the things I expose my mind. You don't even get stability. You don't have prayer life. You don't even have any promise of God. You are following all the celebrity on Instagram. That's the reason why a guy can come to you and will sleep with you. I will give you peanut. And that peanut, you will pinch it and go and use it to buy bone straight. Because you think it's by that you'll be accepted. So majority of the times, where these worries are coming from, it's not like God is not taking care of us. But in comparison to an unbeliever, we feel God is not doing well. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Most of the time, go to the females, their rooms, and they are telling you they don't have what to wear. They have what to wear. They just don't want to repeat it. They don't want to wear what they wore last Sunday. No, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to the person that is by your behind. Oh, is it truth? I mean, I don't know. God really designed. Maybe that was the reason Eve had to eat the fruit so that I can be changing clothes. I don't want to get at you, but sometimes you realize that people who say they don't have clothes, it's not that they don't have clothes, but they don't have the invoke clothes. Or they don't have the one that they can repeat. Before a woman can tell you she had clothes, is if she can wear clothes a month without repeating. You say, yes, it's making sense. Yeah, they are smiling. That's why they use all their money. Next thing they do, you use three people's number you will see in a woman's phone. The one that says food, the ones that says clothes, and the one that makes hair. Check all their phones. That one is by the wayside. It's not part of the message. Let's come back to the message. So, never get to a point in life where you make God think you trust on yourself. So, quickly, let's look at some of the effect of the fear of lack. Because when fallen man was left with the consciousness and fear of lack, he began to devise his own means and method to make end meet. So let's check. When the consciousness of lack came, it had effect in two dimensions. So let's look at the two-dimensional effect of what resulted from the fear and consciousness of lack. So, towards God, something resulted. And then towards himself. So, what I'm trying to say here, in effect, is that we are trying to x-ray the effect of the consciousness of fear of lack. Or you can call it the side effect. Now, the effect of the fall, when man fell, it made man to become conscious of what? Lack. So, now, that consciousness was in two directions. So, let's look at them. One is towards God and towards man. Number one, towards God, a part of man began to see God as unfair. A part of man to see God as what? Unfair. There are a lot of people today that believe that God shows favoritism. Please listen to this very well. One of the side effects of the fear consciousness was that a number of persons began to see God as what? As unfair. Number two, man began to perceive God as one to only get from. And then man saw God as one to be relied upon. Now, we are trying to look at some of the side effects in the mind. We are talking about renewal of mind. Now, if you're going to recover or live above the fall, something must happen in your heart in this direction. I've had people live with this consciousness that God does not like them. I've had people make statements like, God is trying to punish me. Now, all of these mindsets came as a result of the fall. Man was never estranged from God. Scripture said at certain times, God will come have fellowship with what? With man. So God was like a father to man. No good father comes and the child runs away. It is a father that have not done well that will come and all the children are running to the room. I mean, you and I know that when you were younger than this, the moment you heard the sound of your dad, you run. You now grow to a point, you become conscious of your flaws and errors. For me, especially when I've done something that my dad doesn't like, the sound of his car is reminding you of the belt and cane that will come the moment it finds out that you just broke the TV remote control. The isolation from God made man to begin to see God as a terror. God as one that is unfair. I mean, how do you explain that God is blessing one person with house and car, and then the other person is losing his children? You know, that's the reason why it is said there is no God. Job's wife looked at Job after all the affliction. He said, curse God and die. You must understand that the consciousness of lack, that fact that I can't see what God is doing in my life. There are a number of you, when you get so discouraged to even come to church, when you get so discouraged to pray, is that phase in your life, when you look around, you can't see anything God has done. God is not fair to me. Why should I come to church? Are you understanding what I'm talking about? The second was that man begin to perceive God as a Father Christmas. And that's where religion has its motivation. A number of us were taught, if you do this for God, God will do this for you. So a number of people began to see God as one to collect from. I remember, maybe some of you still do that, but I remember growing up in some circles, and then they would tell you that if you want to see God's hand, you should pray. But if you want God to move into your life, you should praise. So sometimes we praise God because we want our bank account to be appraised. Sometimes we come to church so that God can visit our businesses. I'm not telling you that these things are wrong in themselves, but I'm trying to tell you that it was because of the fall that we got into that state. It was not meant to be like that. The God we know is the God that blesses. In Genesis chapter 1 verse 28, the Bible says, and God blessed man and said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth. You must understand that at the moment God was creating you, he put in you the capacity to increase. And that's why one of the first things that happens when the Holy Ghost comes on your life, it begins to bring increase. I can't find a generation in scripture that God called and God didn't bless. Show me any. He called Abraham and he said, in blessing, I will bless you. He called Isaac, like you saw in that Genesis 26. He says, stay. And the Bible told us, if you go back to that Genesis 28, 26, the Bible says, and Isaac sowed in that land and reaped a hundredfold as a sow. The land that there was farming. It can only be God. By default, God is a blesser. Majority of the times, when God is introduced, he's introduced as the most benevolent king. It's the fall that changed the number of things. He told Noah to build an ark. He made provision for it. So, the man began to perceive God as one to only get from. So, that get mentality is what possesses even the hidden. So, they want to serve God because of what they can get from God. It came as a result of the fall. Because no father wants the child to serve him for his sustenance. How many serve dominion don't serve before we begin to take care of her? That's the truth. I don't deny the fact that there are blessings that comes from service. But those blessings are add-ons. David was speaking in the book of Psalms. He said, he daily loads us with benefits. Benefits, not the main thing. Because the main thing is the main one. So he now gives you what? Benefits. So if any man be in Christ, he enjoys the provisions that come from God. So number three, man saw God as one to be relied upon. So it was this generation that gave birth to the Christ generation. This generation started from Adam. And the Lord appeared to Adam in Genesis 12. Abraham. This generation started from who? Abraham, not Adam. Abraham. And the Bible spoke. And then in Genesis chapter 12, and God appeared unto Abraham and told Abraham, leave your father's house to a land that I will show you. The Bible says, and Abraham believed God. And the Bible says, it was imputed to him as righteousness. And from that moment, God began to deal with Abraham on the premise of faith. Listen to this. We are of the offspring of Abraham. We are not of the offspring of Noah. We are not of the offspring of Levi. The offspring of Levi served for what they got, but we are of the offspring of Abraham. We get what we get on account of faith. Oh God, I trust you. I put my hope in you, and then he pays your bill. How does he do it? I will say by faith. So that's you understand. So this generation gave birth to the place of provision. Now, towards man, now let's look at the effect. I mean, they were much. One. So this was how man perceived God. Now, how man perceived himself. What happened inside of the man? Now, one of the first things that happened inside of the man became work-driven. Bring it up. Genesis 3, when God began to pronounce some things to Adam. So let's write them down quickly. Number one, man became work-driven. Number two, man became greedy. In brackets. Want and get more. We are trying to explain how the fear of lack operates. That's actually what we're trying to say. So when a man has the fear of lack in his heart, he sees God like one to work for, to get. There are people today that are just only using God to get what they want. I'm telling you the truth. I mean, there are people who open church just so they can use God to get what they want. All these Any attempt by any man to use God was inherited from the fall. Are you with me? It came. It was not like that. And that's why when God begins to renew your mind, you will understand how God takes care of us. I will show you four ways He takes care of us. And the moment you instill these things into your life, you enjoy all of God. So number one, man became work-driven. Number two, man became greedy. He said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, Genesis 3:17. He said, you shall not eat of it. Okay, he said, of the tree I commanded you, saying you shall not eat of it. He said, cursed is the ground for your sake. He said, in toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. So it's a result of the fall. Are you getting me? Man became work driven. Number two, man became greedy. Number three, the soul of man became insatiable. Man became greedy. Greed is want for more at any cost. Three, man's heart or soul became insatiable. You remember what economy said? What did economy say? Man's needs are unlimited and are insatiable. Let me tell you this. The heart of man is a bottomless pit. It can never be filled. So it is the Spirit of God that stirs up contentment. And you said, as much as I have, I'm okay with it. That capacity to be okay is only possible by the renewal of mind. Do you know that most presidents in Africa wants to be president for life? You remember Gaddafi? See, the soul of man is desperately insatiable. Look at yourself now. No, let's look at it from close range. Let's not go far. You said you wanted to buy a phone. I mean, you saved and you bought that flip. We call it, remember that flip? Remind me now. That flip phone, you bought it. After a while, you say you don't like it again. I mean, you saved and saved and saved, and you bought, that Samsung, cool, fine. Even the iPhone you just bought, now you want to change it. That's just how it is. I mean, you want one shoe, you buy one shoe, something is telling you need another shoe. Abby? You buy that one, another thing is telling you still need another shoe. It is only a renewed mind that can spill a sense of contentment. It came as a result of the fall. That insatiability, the soul is never satisfied. Are you with me? Never satisfied. So it is only when the Spirit of God has worked on you. And let me tell you what is, when we say Spirit of God work on you, it only changes the desire of your satisfaction. You didn't get what I said. See, when we are talking about the renewal of mind, it replaces that crave with something else. Like what Jesus said in the book of John chapter 4. The Bible said they brought food to him, I think in verse 34 thereabout. He said, eat. He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. And to finish his work. You know what it means? He would desire the work of God more than food. So what that crave for food would be, you know, that crave, that insatiability in his soul for food is now replaced with the work of God. So that's why when everybody say tired, he said, no, let's go. He's never satisfied. So when what God does by renewal of mind is to change the direction of the craving, change the direction of the consciousness, and change the direction of the fear. That's what we mean by renewal of mind. Are we together? Nothing in this world will satisfy. Jesus, you're the cup that won't run dry. The pleasures of my heart and of my soul. In my weakness, you are merciful. Redeemer of my past and present wrong. The owner of my future days to come. So you must know this, that when we are talking about the renewal of mind, we are talking about God replacing the crave for money with the crave for godliness. So you don't realize, is it that we don't need money? We need money, but we need it for something else. So the motivation has changed. Glory to God. So the soul can never be satisfied. Look up. Even if I carry the whole of ChopRite and give you, there is something about the soul of man. The more of a thing it gets, the more dissatisfied of that thing it becomes. How many of you have observed it? You are not here. Do you get what I'm saying? It's just there in the soul. Just imagine something you are craving for. It's just like all this one, your body is burning, jeering for sex. Any small thing, sex. You now marry, you go tire you. In fact, sometimes 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you don't even remember where sex day. That's what we are saying. Hello? Oh, you are gentle now. Okay, you are spiritual people. Don't worry, when you get there, you understand what I'm talking about. You are not there yet. There is always this part of us. The moment you get much of something, you just become so, it doesn't freak you. Allow me use that word anymore. That's why it is. You begin to look for another one. That's why you see some of them. They slept with female. They got tired and now they are sleeping with men. You don't understand what we are talking about here. That's why if God is not in your heart, and renewing your soul, you will just see. The Bible says they gave themselves to all forms of lust. Some now 2 year old they won't sleep with, 6 years old, some even old woman, and they won't stop because the capacity to press STOP is not in the flesh, it's in the recreated spirit. Are you understanding it? So that's why if God is not working on your heart, you can kill to get money. You can steal to get money. Because as long as it is this world that is defining your task, you will kill. Forget all this speaking in tongues. Yeah, some of you, if God does not renew your mind, you become the president. Forget what the current president is doing. You will go and build three-story skies. I say three-story. It's small. You go and build that in Atlantic Ocean. You will suspend it with pillars just to take selfie. I'm telling you the truth. There's no limit to what an unsatisfied soul can do. It is the spirit of God in the heart of a man that brews contentment in him. That's why if you have the spirit of God and I'm not seeing contentment in your life, something is happening to that spirit. Because it was Paul that said, godliness with contentment is great gain. Gain. You put it in there. I'm satisfied. I don't want it. They are telling you, see this job we want to do. All you just need to do is to be feeding us information from your gas computer. We'll be crediting your account 30 gig data, and we'll be giving you 100k every month. You say, no, I don't want it. Because nothing in this world will satisfy. Before Jesus, the devil took him to the pinnacle of the temple. The Bible says he showed him all the glories of the world. Do you know what? Glory of the world. You don't see glory before. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory thereof. He said, all these I will give. Don't forget, the desire to have makes you see every given opportunity as an opportunity to collect. As an opportunity to collect. So it is the Spirit of God on your life that will say, no, I don't want it. So he looked at the devil and said, see, it is written. Now, that capacity to state what is written is what we call renewal of mind. Using the word of God, superimposing the word of God on your greed. Telling greed, see, it is written, only God shall you serve. And the devil heard it. And Jesus sent him out. Get thee behind me, Satan. Oh, if the Spirit of God is not spilling contentment into your life, Christianity will be a mirage. Look at what he said. I want to look at something. Verse 9. Wait. While I quoted that verse, the Spirit of God reminded me that I didn't quote it correctly. Because most of the times, thank you, Holy Spirit. You think that to overcome greed is to state what is written. The Lord said no. He said, first of all, the one you have been taught, you will tell greed to get behind first. You cast it out first before you say what is written. Because if you say what is written without casting it out, it will convince you with another thing that is written. That's why I see Christians, sometimes they leave, they say, everyone helps those who help themselves. Do you know some people believe that verse is in the Bible? They will tell you. I think it's in Proverbs. Everyone help those who help themselves. The first thing Jesus did was to say, get be. So he casted Satan out first. As Satan was going, he now used the scripture to sponsor the speed of his exit. There are things you don't sometimes hear me. There are some situations you get to as a Christian. You tell the person, I don't know what is even written in the Bible, but for me, I can't do this. That's what Jesus did. Get out. There are some situations in life you send out. Tell anybody, there are some thoughts you cast out. You didn't hear what I said. You cast the thought out. Get out. I don't need car. Go. Let me have my peace. Glory to God. Get. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and him holy. Listen, I wrote about 6 principles that brings about abundance. The first thing is the principle of vision. It is who your eyes are on that will determine the support you get when you are on earth. Listen, it is who your eyes are on. If your eyes are on your job will be your support system. If your eyes are on your business will be your support system. But when your eyes are on God, it changes the narrative. Let me tell you how it changes it. I will bless the works of your hands. That's how it works. So you are working. They think it's from your salary. No, my eyes is not in the job. That's why I'm not looking. I don't care what's happening in the office. I just come to serve here because I am a symbol of godliness. My mission in this office is to show you that there is what God can do for people. My eyes is on God, and then God is taking care of you. And they are wondering, how is he doing it? I will bless the works. Bow your head. We'll pick up from you on Sunday. There's so much. This series, there's so much in here. No more anxiety. No more anxiety. Where is your trust? Lord, he don't say we shouldn't walk. He said, but I will bless the work of your hands. Who sponsors you determines what supports you. The reason why many religious folks can't give is not because they don't have. Is because they don't have enough. But when your mind is renewed, like Apostle Paul in Philippians chapter 4, he said, I have learned how, I know how to abound in little and in much. Bring it up. Philippians chapter 4. Is it verse 13 or thereabouts? Verse 18. Let's start from verse 12. Good. Let's stand up on our feet. We close with these scriptures. Paul said, I know how to be abased. And I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Oh, Jesus. Look up. Anybody that tells you that spirituality means that you will not have days of needs, it's not telling you the truth. But through it all, my heart will trust in you. My heart will trust in you. He said, for I can do all things to Christ that strengthens me. My heart will trust. By the end of the series, you will stop trusting your skills. He said, anyone that puts his trust in God shall not be put to shame. Psalm 34. Is it verse 6? Let's start from verse 3. My heart will trust you. Verse 3. Yes, verse 5. That's the verse. He said, they looked to him and were radiant. Give it to us in NLT. They looked to him for help. Those who look to him for help will be radiant with joy. No shadow of shame will darken their faces. My heart will trust. Can you lift your hands and take that line? I will trust you.
My heart will trust in you.
My heart will trust in you.
My heart will trust in you.
Sometimes it will not be like God will show up.
My heart will trust.
Sometimes it will look like he has forsaken you.
My heart will trust in you.
But on the long run, you will not.
My heart will trust in you.
My heart will trust.
My heart will trust in you.
Hear you sing that song.
My heart will trust in you.
There is a prophecy in there. My heart. heart will trust in.
My heart will trust in you.
My heart will trust in you.
My heart will trust in you.
Though I walk through the valley,
you have been instructed and edified by the teaching from God's servant, Pastor Stephen Enoku. If you have need for more edifying teachings, you can download them from our ministry's website, www.kdclovemercy.com/sermons. For counseling, feedbacks, and should you want to support the ministry or be a partner to what the Lord is doing through us, send us a mail through kdclovemercychurch@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you. Keep taking charge.